2 Timothy, we'll continue here with our theme throughout this calendar year has been continue. It's a new month, August the 4th, first Sunday of August, and that means we have a new memory verse for the month of August. It's 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 12, and I hope that you'll be working on that. You need to have every day of this month that has 31 days to be able to memorize this verse of Scripture, work on it. It is a little more lengthy than some of the other verses of Scripture that we've had as our memory verses for each month, but 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 12, and I hope that you would work on that. And let me just mention, as we get into the text of Scripture, how thankful I am for God's Word, amen? And I am so thankful that God has not only inspired His Word, but He preserved His Word, and that is so impactful for us today to understand the truth of preservation, and that we can have confidence and what God has told us in His Word. We have, as you study throughout God's Word, you have had the opportunity, of course, to learn many things about the Apostle Paul. You read the New Testament, and Paul is a very prominent character throughout the New Testament. We know much about Paul, and we've noted as he's writing here, in this particular final letter that Paul is writing from a Roman prison, and he's awaiting a martyr's death. And we understand that historically, the timing with regard to the writing of this letter. And we find that there are several letters that were written during the time that the Apostle Paul was there in prison. We find that he was imprisoned a couple of different times, this being his final imprisonment before his death, and of course the final letter that he would write. Although his circumstances are less than desirable being in prison, we find that he continues to faithfully serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for that example, because there are times in which you and I will face difficult circumstances. We'll have circumstances that we say, this isn't what I was hoping for. This isn't what I desired. This isn't the way that I thought it was going to work out. We can still serve God. We can still be faithful to serve the Lord. And we find that the Apostle Paul, during this period of time of his life, he continues to seek to encourage not only churches, but also individuals. We find that as he would have opportunity to invest in and encourage others, he's encouraging churches, he's encouraging individuals. And what a blessing to understand that. We find that as we read the Pauline epistles, that we have the opportunity to understand and to see how the Apostle Paul was being used of the Lord to encourage these church families and these individuals. And I would say, even still today, because God has preserved His Word, that the words are still being used to encourage us today. His behavior, His belief in God is still being used to encourage believers today, and for that we are thankful. In many of the epistles, he lists people by name, and many times the names that are given, we don't know a whole lot about those individuals. As we close this first chapter of 2 Timothy, we find that we're introduced to a character with the name of Onesiphorus. We begin to understand as we look at this passage of Scripture that Paul is going to give us some information about this man, though it's limited. There's not a lot that we know about Onesiphorus, but what we know is challenging, what we know is encouraging, and we find that many times throughout the Scriptures, throughout the New Testament in particular, we have the opportunity to read and to study how Paul is ministering to other people, how Paul is ministering to churches, how Paul is ministering to individuals, how Paul is yielding himself to Christ, that he says that he's willing to spend and be spent, that he's willing to go through and to face the adversity and the trial because he's serving Christ and God is using him to minister to others. Here, however, we have the opportunity to learn about a man who ministered to Paul. We get to learn this morning about this man Onesiphorus and how he was used of the Lord to minister to Paul. The text of Scripture beginning in verse number 16, the Bible says this, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. It's interesting because at the end of verse number 15, as we concluded last week, Paul had given a charge to Timothy, and it was in verse 13 to hold fast and verse 14 to keep. And I said if I could summarize verse 15, it was to continue because there were those in Asia that were turned away from Paul. He mentions Phygellus and Hermogenes by name, but then immediately after that kind of negative note, if you will, he says, now let me tell you about Onesiphorus. Let me tell you about this man who he says he oft refreshed me. I want to use that as the title this morning, He Oft Refreshed Me. As we look at the text of Scripture, I want you to first consider with me, number one, consider the effort of Onesiphorus. The effort of Onesiphorus. I use that word because as I look at verse number 17, we find that the Bible says this, He sought me out, notice what it says, very diligently. Begin to think about the phraseology that is used there, and we find that this statement that God allows the Apostle Paul to use with regard to the ministry of Onesiphorus and how he oft refreshed him, we're given glimpse into the effort of this individual, and it reveals something to us about his character. As it says here that he sought me out very diligently, I believe that it reveals to us that this man Onesiphorus, he was determined. He was determined. You know, in your life and in my life, we need to be determined to do some things. We need to just determine that we're going to be yielded to Christ, that we're going to live for Christ. We understand what He did for us, and we're going to be determined. And I find that here in this text of Scripture that it says, He sought me out very diligently, and notice it says, and found me. And we see the determination of this man. He was desiring to be used of the Lord, to be a blessing and an encouragement to Paul. No doubt Paul had played some role in his life of maybe leading him to Christ, maybe mentoring him. We have no idea exactly the context of all that took place, but we know that Paul mentions in verse 18 how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So this man Onesiphorus, he goes and he's seeking for Paul. It says that he sought very diligently. He was determined. I wonder this morning as we think about this word effort and we consider the effort of Onesiphorus, I wonder this morning how determined we are to be a blessing to someone else. I wonder this morning how much effort we put forth to be a blessing to someone else. Do we just give up at that, well, I tried, I looked, and I didn't find. No, he sought him out very diligently. He didn't just stop at the first roadblock. You ever have a situation where there's some roadblocks in life and that hurdle comes, that opposition? No, he didn't stop at that. He sought him out very diligently. It reveals to me not only that he was determined, but it was that he was disciplined. There was some discipline in his life. And we find that in the very next text of Scripture, in chapter number 2 of this book, that God is going to remind us that we're soldiers. We sang this morning about being soldiers in the Lord's army, and I'm thankful that we are to be good soldiers, as we find in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. But something that's important when you think about those that serve in the military, and we can see it in our own nation and think about the military branches, but as we think about being in the Lord's army, discipline is required. Discipline is absolutely essential. And I believe that as I look at the effort of this man, Onesiphorus, he was determined, he was disciplined. But when the Bible tells us not only that he sought me out very diligently in verse 17, but we come to verse 18 and it says at the end of the verse, and in how many things he, Onesiphorus, ministered unto me, Paul, at Ephesus, thou, Timothy, knowest very well. So Timothy was aware of the behavior, the ministry of Onesiphorus while in Ephesus. This was not something that I don't think Onesiphorus did it necessarily to be recognized, to be applauded for his ministry, but it was something that was evidenced. It was something that was known. Timothy had observed the ministry of Onesiphorus, or Paul had shared with Timothy how Onesiphorus had ministered unto him, but he says this, thou, Timothy, thou knowest very well. So I believe as we look at this effort, not only does it reveal to us in his character that he's determined and disciplined, but I would say this morning, he was consistent. He was consistent. This effort that is being put forth was not just a one and done kind of a situation. There was a consistency on the part of Onesiphorus that he just wanted to be a blessing. You ever sing that song, "Make Me a Blessing"? Man, what a wonderful song. Make me a blessing, Lord. Use me to be a blessing in someone's life today. And we find that this man, Onesiphorus, again, there's not much that we know about Onesiphorus, but what we know in these few verses of Scripture, how powerful it is. Begin to think about the effort. Again, I'm going to ask myself, and I'm going to ask you to ask yourself this morning, how much effort do we put in? You know, oftentimes you get out what you put in. You ever hear somebody use that phraseology? And I'm thankful that as we have the opportunity to serve the Lord and we look at this ministry of Onesiphorus, that he had put forth great effort. It leads me to consider number two this morning. Again, if you're taking notes, not only consider the effort of Onesiphorus, but I want you to consider the effectiveness of Onesiphorus. The effectiveness. I want to be effective in life. Amen? I don't want to just kind of spin my wheels. You know what I mean by that? I want to be effective. I don't want to just waste time. I don't want to waste words. And I want to be effective in my life. And we find that as we look at this text of Scripture and we see the effort that Onesiphorus put forth, we also acknowledge in the text of Scripture the effectiveness of his ministry. Notice what Paul says in verse 16. He says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." That word "oft" means frequently. It means to not be rare. It's a common part of one's behavior. So the Bible says that he oft, regularly, more than one time, frequently. Paul was in prison. Can you imagine? I hope I never have to go to prison. Amen? Do you hope you never have to go to prison? I don't want to go to prison. But if I go to prison, I hope somebody visits me. Amen? Back in the whole COVID thing, Mr. Don said, "If you go to prison, I'll come visit you," because we're having church. I said, "Well, that encourages me greatly. Thank you, Mr. Don. I appreciate it. Amen." And one person will come visit me, you know. But the reality is that I don't want to be in prison, but I can think about being in prison and the loneliness that could accompany. Listen, you understand the prison that Paul was in is not like the prisons in America today. It's not like the prisons in America today. It was a dark, cool, wet, dungeon type of a place. And as Paul is there, and no doubt he's having great fellowship with God, and he's had the opportunity to write a number of letters, but I want you to think about someone coming to visit. And Paul says he oft, it wasn't just one time, he frequently, it was part of his behavior. I think if I could use my sanctified imagination this morning, if you could as well, I think as we look at the text of Scripture, that it was something that Paul probably looked forward to. The fellowship that he could enjoy as Onesiphorus would come. And the Bible says that he, Onesiphorus, oft, regularly refreshed me. The word "refresh" means to invigorate. It means to revive. It means to cheer up. Now, we know that Paul was a man that was a joyful Christian. In fact, as he's writing to the church in Philippi, the Philippian believers, he's saying to them to rejoice. He's writing from prison. He was in prison in Philippi. He was in prison when he's writing the letter back to the Philippians, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." But I want you to understand that God uses people to encourage us. And turn over, if you will, hold your place here in 2 Timothy. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, if you will, in chapter number 6. And I want you to see what God tells us here in 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. I'm 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, begin looking in verse number 4, if you will. The Bible says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." That's an amazing verse of Scripture. That Paul could say that I am exceeding joyful, not just a joyful, but I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. The mindset of many today is that if I could have no tribulation, then I might be able to have joy. But Paul says, in the midst of my tribulation, I am exceeding joyful. Notice as you continue reading, it says, "For in verse 5, when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled." Notice what he says, "on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us," how? "By the coming of Titus." God used Titus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, in a time in Paul's life where they were dealing with much tribulation, where they were troubled on every side, where there were fightings without, there was fear within, but God, who is the God of all comfort, that's how we're introduced to God in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, that He is the God of all comfort. And here Paul says, "God that comforteth those that are cast down, He provided me with comfort by the coming of Titus." I think about Onesiphorus here in this text of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, where the Bible says that he oft refreshed me. There was a measure of effectiveness on the part of this man's ministry. It was not in vain. Do you remember what Job said about his three friends? Job's three friends, they come and they're there. And what are his three friends? The best thing they did for him is stay quiet. But then they started talking. Right? When they were quiet, it was pretty good. But then they start talking, and they're going to try to help Job understand why Job's dealing with all the things that he's dealing with. And they begin to make these accusations and all the things that take place. And the reality is that Job eventually will say, "Miserable comforters." That's how he referred to those friends. "Miserable comforters are ye." But here, Paul says of Onesiphorus, "He oft refreshed me." The effectiveness. I believe that as I look here at this text of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, I can't help but believe that there's a connection between the two thoughts that we have before us this morning, that the effectiveness of the ministry of Onesiphorus is tied directly to the effort of Onesiphorus. He put forth the effort. He sought him out very diligently, and he found him. And it says that he oft refreshed me. I believe this morning that the effort that was put forth led to this man being effective in his ministry. I want to be effective. I hope this morning you want to be effective, but you got to put in some effort. You got to put in effort if you want to be effective. We have if I could speak and paint with a very broad brush this morning, we have a time in our nation's history, in our culture today, where people try to do the least that they can do. They just want to get by. They just want to do enough to pass. They just want to put in enough to be able to get whatever they need to get. Can I tell you that that's not how we ought to look at life as God's children? We're going to look at life that I'm willing, as Paul said, to spend and be spent. I'm willing to put forth the effort because I want to be effective in ministry. You know, I said this on Wednesday night, I'm not watching the Olympics, but I think about the Olympic athletes, and over the years I have done some study with regard to some of what training regiments and what have you. You know, they put in great effort in order to compete on that stage so that they might have a medal. I'm not interested in a participation trophy. Amen? I play a lot of sports growing up. We were very involved in sports and what have you. State champions in baseball, loved it, enjoyed it. It was a great thing when we got that first place trophy. We were the state champions. I did not want a participation trophy. I had the view, and I understand if it's offensive, I don't mean to be offensive, but I had the view growing up that second place was the first loser. It's just how I thought. I wanted to put in the effort. When we serve God, if we want to be effective, we got to put in the effort. We got to put in the effort. And this man, Onesiphorus, he put in the effort, and he was effective. Paul says of this man, Onesiphorus, he oft refreshed me. He oft refreshed me. He says to Timothy in verse 18, listen, Timothy, you know how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. This morning, we consider the effort of Onesiphorus. We consider the effectiveness of Onesiphorus. Finally, this morning, number three, I want you to consider the example of Onesiphorus. The example. You ever wonder as you read God's Word why God chose to preserve certain things? I do. I don't say that with a critical mindset. I say it with an inquisitive mindset. Why is it? Listen, no one told God what he had to write to us. No one told God how many chapters, how many verses, how many. God had no criteria. He gave us exactly what he wanted us to have. And so you come to a few verses of Scripture here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and you see that God is letting us have this picture, this understanding of this individual by the name of Onesiphorus, and God chose to preserve it for us. Why? Not just so that we could know about Onesiphorus, but that we could have this as an example for us. Now we understand this morning that the greatest example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter speaks about how he left us an example that we should follow his steps. And no doubt it's important that we understand the example of Christ. But Paul says of himself in 1 Corinthians, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so we can be examples, we can have examples, and we find in the text of Scripture an example that is worthy of following. Why do I say it's a worthy example? Well, because he was effective. Paul says he oft refreshed me. I mean, that's a great compliment, is it not? You think about how many times God used Paul to be able to minister to others and how God used Paul to be a blessing and an encouragement and a help to so many people. And now Paul on the other end, and he says, this man oft refreshed me. And so this morning, I ask myself some questions and I ask you as well, how can God use you? How can God use me to oft refresh a brother or sister in Christ? I wonder this morning, can God use us to oft refresh a brother or sister in Christ? I think the answer is absolutely. God desires to use us. God desires to allow us to be a vessel that is used to help to bring that encouragement, that spirit of reviving, if you will, invigorating our brother and sister in Christ. And so God desires to use us. How can he use us? Well, the answer to that question will be varied. God may use you to oft refresh a brother or a sister in Christ by a simple phone call. A simple phone call. But you know what is required to make that simple phone call? Effort. Effort. How many times have you said, man, I was planning to call that person? Right? You know, if I just, I was going to write them a note. And I just didn't do it. I didn't put forth the effort. Right? We understand that this morning. And so it takes effort. It could be a simple phone call. It could be a simple text message. It could be a handwritten note. Now, handwritten notes are something that people don't do a whole lot anymore. But you know, there's something I think that's special about a handwritten note. I believe that a handwritten note communicates something to an individual greater than just a text message or an email or something like that, because there's a little bit more effort that goes into it, right? Would you agree? I think about our missionaries. You know how many times our missionaries contact me and say something with regard to how much they appreciate that our church family sends them cards for their birthdays and anniversaries? We have some ladies in our church that faithfully, month after month after month, they write cards to our missionaries, to their children of our missionaries on their anniversaries to our missionaries to send them, to let them know that someone knows that it's their birthday, that it's their anniversary, that they're praying for them. You know what that does to that individual in the foreign field? It refreshes them. So many times, there's one missionary, so I contact the men. I don't send happy birthday texts to the ladies, the wives of our missionaries, but to all the men, I send them a text or an email when it's their birthday. When it's their anniversary, I send them a note, let them know, happy anniversary, I hope you and your wife have a wonderful day. Rejoicing in the goodness of God in your lives, and just try to give just a short note. But there's effort that's required. One missionary said recently, he said, out of 100 churches that support us, your church is the only church that's ever wished me a happy birthday when I've been on the field. That's sad. But I'm also thankful that we at least did that. It takes effort. It takes effort. You know, we put effort into a lot of things. Do we not? We put effort in a lot of things. Put effort into serving the Lord, putting effort into desiring to be a blessing to someone else. As we see the example of Onesiphorus, he was purposed, he was determined, he was disciplined, he was consistent, and he put in the effort. I would say this morning, if we look at the example of Onesiphorus and we seek to apply it in our lives, that we must ask the Lord to give us opportunities. As we sing the song, make me a blessing. We say, Lord, would you give me opportunities? Would you help me to have eyes to see the opportunities to be a blessing to someone else? And then help me to be effective in being a blessing. I think about a few verses of Scripture. Look over to the book of Galatians, if you will, in chapter number 6. And we look at this text of Scripture and we find here that Paul is writing and ministering to these churches in the region of Galatia. And there's dealing with much turmoil and difficulty that's taking place. And here as he wraps up this letter, he gives them this truth in Galatians 6 and verse number 10 that's so important for us to apply in our lives this morning with regard to this subject matter. He oft refreshed me. And if we truly desire that God would use us like God used Onesiphorus, that God would use us to be a blessing to someone else, we must acknowledge that we have to put in the effort. We desire to be effective. We're requesting of the Lord that He would give us opportunities. And notice in Galatians 6 and verse number 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I think about these first few words, as we have therefore opportunity. You know what's interesting about opportunity? It doesn't last forever. What do I mean by that? Someone said this, opportunities are often easier seen going than coming. Man, I missed that opportunity because the opportunity presented itself and then it's the circumstances change, the conditions change. What if Onesiphorus was sitting back there and saying, you know, I really want to go be a blessing to Paul. I know that he's in prison. I know that he's going to be martyred and I really want to be a blessing to him, but I got to, you know, and he just didn't take the opportunity. And then Paul is martyred and he says, you know, I wish I would have, but the opportunity isn't available anymore. The opportunity is gone. So he says, as we have therefore opportunity, the reality is that what we know is that we have this moment to live for Christ. We have this moment to live for Christ. The young people in here might say, oh, I got the rest of my life ahead of me. You don't know that because you don't know how long the rest of your life is, nor do I, nor does anyone in this building. None of us know how many days we have left on this earth. There's but a step between me and death. But we also believe the countdown's getting lower every day. 3 and 2, coming through. Amen? Jesus is coming again. And so as we have opportunity, what does he say? Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We see this in Galatians 6:10. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, and we'll be done this morning. Hebrews chapter number 6. I want you to see what God says here in Hebrews chapter number 6. What a great encouragement as I begin to think about those that are desiring to be effective in ministry, desiring to be a blessing to someone else, desiring to look at this example of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and say, you know, I think God could use me just like God used Onesiphorus. Who is the man? We don't know much about him. Where was he trained? I have no idea. How old was he? I have no idea. We don't know all those details. But what we do know is that he oft refreshed Paul. Look at Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Begin to think about this verse of Scripture. The Bible says that these folks that are being written to here, that number one, God is not unrighteous to forget. See, there are times in which we labor, there are times in which we seek to minister, and we know maybe the way that God used us to be a blessing to someone else, but there are many times that we may have no idea how God used us to be a blessing to someone else. We may not know. When God prompts you to send that text message, to make that phone call, we don't know what the person on the other end is dealing with. We don't know the heartache and the trial that they're experiencing in that moment, but you follow the leadership, the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God to be a blessing, to be a minister to that individual. God knows about that, and God will bless that. It says this, he's not unrighteous to forget. Notice your work and labor of love. I think about those two words that are used here in Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. He says, your work and labor. What does that reveal to you? Effort. Does it not? Your work and labor. Those are the two words that are used here in Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. These words, just in my life and in my understanding, it reveals to me, it screams of effort, work. Listen, work is you gotta put forth effort. Labor. You think about the word labor, the effort that is contained within the thought here. Your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. So let's pause just for a moment. Onesiphorus oft refreshed Paul. But you know who Onesiphorus was ultimately serving? Christ. Serving Christ. You know who you're serving? You know who I'm serving? We're serving Christ. We're serving Christ. Now, God might use us to be a blessing to each other, to some other brother or sister in Christ, and He wants to do that, but ultimately what we're doing is for the Lord. It's for Christ. It's that we would understand that our labor is for Him. And it says this, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The third aspect that I mentioned when we talked about the effort of Onesiphorus was not only that he was determined and disciplined, but he was consistent. And here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, it says that ye have ministered. What is that? That's past tense. That's what you have done. But then it says, and do minister. What is that? Well, that's present tense. Now, it can't speak of future tense because we don't know what's on the morrow. We know the God who holds tomorrow, and by God's grace, we will continue to minister, but we can think about the past. We say, we have ministered, and we desire today to minister, to be a blessing. To be a blessing. Can God use you to be a blessing? Sure He can. God can use any of us. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know who I am. I don't have any talents, any abilities. I have no skill. God can use you to be a blessing. God can use you to be a blessing. You know, this morning, we live in a world where people need someone to be a blessing to them. He oft refreshed me. Who are you encouraging? Who are you ministering to? Who are you being a blessing to this morning? I understand that we could say, well, this person was a blessing to me, and this person was a blessing to me, and this person was a blessing to me, and this person did this. But I'm asking this morning, if we could put ourselves in Onesiphorus' shoes. Are we putting forth the effort? Not just kind of enough to get by, enough to check a box. The Christian life isn't about checking boxes. Amen? That's not what it's about. Putting forth the effort, why? Because I want to be effective. I want to be used of God. I want to be effective. We see there's a great example here. This morning, I hope every one of us would follow the example of Onesiphorus, that we, as we have opportunity, that we would seize the opportunity and that we would do good. It's a little early, but we have a baby dedication. I'm early on purpose. Let's pray. We'll have our time of invitation, then we'll have the baby dedication. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather together this morning. We thank you for your word and for the truth that's contained therein. We thank you for this man, Onesiphorus. And God, we thank you for the example of this man, his effort, his effectiveness. And God, I pray you would help each of us this morning to be challenged. Not to be content with just doing enough to get by, not to be content with just status quo. God, that we would truly desire to be used of you, to be used of thee in the same manner in which Onesiphorus was used of thee. Help us to put forth that effort, Lord, that we might be effective. I pray that you'd move and work in hearts and lives as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand?